Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
This old house is falling down.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yes, guy, sweet talking sport Friday, the 15th of May, you know, how everybody's lucky at this day, you know, okay, never see this date again, unless you read something or, you know, have something kind of distinguished in your calendar, you know. So, we got the man called CV Yasso, Wagwan.
Nice. Just ready, you know.
So here we are, you know. Friday soon gone and come again, you know. Go around the world and go tell your friend. Sweet talking sport. This is the chat show presented by myself. And, you know, straight to the point. Chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and drawing an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to sporting discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national. Good to go on air, expansive debate and analysed by myself and a man called CV. You know, this is your regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking chat show you'll ever hear, you know. You can listen live and direct from 6 to 7 every Friday or catch up on the archives, yeah. So, you know, I hope nobody's listening out there. But you know what? If you are, keep this to yourself. Nobody broadcast this, yeah. Just secret. Gonna jump straight in. With the boxing, last Saturday, what a fiasco that was. You know what I mean? Between them two big giant them.
Yeah, juggernaut, innit?
Yes, yeah. Aya. You know? Was you entertained?
Yes, definitely.
I mean, you know, before we get into the... you know, Wardley's triggered the rematch clause and all that kind of stuff. For me, I'm kind of like on the side of Shane and Barry McGuigan. You know, they was quite vocal. Not just them, but other kind of ex-boxers and, you know, past and present were saying about, you know, the fight went on too long. And I've got to agree with.
Are you talking about they should have stopped it? What you mean? What Wardley?
Yeah, for me, I think they should have stopped it at least a couple of rounds. So let's say the ninth round, I think the referee should have used his kind of like discretion and stop it. I know that he's got controversial. Kind of like stopping fights too early or keeping guys in. Some people might say, well, you know, he can't win. But what he did, he covered himself a couple of times as well, didn't he? And said, yo, ref, just take a look at this guy, you know?
give him kind of like an assessment.
You mean the ref said told the doctor to take a look?
No, the ref brought the guy, didn't he? Brought Wardley to the doctor.
He did, yeah, and he was looking at his nose
look upon him.
Yeah. He did do that.
Rather than kind of like
take the initiative himself, yeah, and say, look, you know, nah, you've done your best, done.
That's right. You know what I mean? And I just thought that.
Yeah, it did a bit like he did like a VAR, innit?
Yeah, I mean, maybe sometimes they might need something like
that.
Yeah,
that's what he did. Like, but he did like a VAR because he might be a referee and he did things. For him to take this and say, look, yeah, look, right? I don't think you can carry on anymore, right? So I'm going to done your yasso, right? Now what he's done like VAR and call up doctor and for him to make the decision and say, look, done it.
It's true. Because if we kind of strip it down, right, on reflection, like I said, you know, what a brutal and vicious fiasco it was, you know? And everybody who watched that, you know, would totally agree. What's wrong within what must have been within the 10 seconds, you know, when Wardley put the ball on his backside, yeah, with a massive right hook, you know, and that kind of like, yeah, it kind of rocked him, obviously. And then I was listening to the pundits and that, and they all said, yeah, get up too quick, you know what I mean? Should I just take a little breather and stuff, and you know, gather his thoughts and that. But anyway, he got up. Maybe got up too quick because he didn't want to show the people them say, you know, he's kind of hurt, you know. And then third round, tears canvas again, and I thought, wow. You know, I must admit, I thought, this is going to end early, this. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Wardley were just looking for the big bombs. After that, he thought, I've touched him already, so I can touch him again. He was just trying to seek him out like one of them missile there. You know what I mean? What them submarine just Lego when them ready. You know what I mean? It was like one of them. It's like, yeah, you know, press the button and we'll see what happens. I mean, when I say press the button, that's like Wardley's the right hammer coming down. But De Boer kind of like boxed his way. You could say boxed his way into the fight, and his confidence kind of like grew and grew, you know. And then there was a time when I think it was a ninth round when Wardley kind of just stumbled out. Like, yeah, say, it had one too many.
He wobbled.
Yeah. And are you telling me that his corner, the ref, can't see that? You know what I mean? Because and that's when he wobbled, and then he kind of like thought, yeah, I better cover myself here. And I believe that's why he did that move, you know? That Howard Foster, been refereeing since what, 1997, should have stopped that fight well before retiring Wardley in the 11th round, you know. And then you got the doctor, like I said, did an assessment on a few occasions due to Wardley's severe damage, you know, to his nose and his kind of like right eye. So the inspections were from what? Round 9, start of round 10. And then, you know, Wardley were just bubbling around in the ring, you know, just kind of like waiting to get slap up and that. When Foster, the referee, heal up the doctor, if we check him out again, only for the doctor to give Wardley a prescription for nyam some leather.
Leather?
The gloves, innit? Gloves are made of leather, innit?
What, for in a,
Yeah. So that was the prescription. What the referee fast game.
I said to him, "Yo, eat that.
Take that." Yeah. And he should have just, instead of pulling him out, he just took some unnecessary punishment.
Some beating. He did take a beating.
And you're just thinking,
it was a proper beating, really.
I mean, I heard some people say that any other boxer, other than Wardley,
would have gone.
Would have stopped it long time.
Yeah, would have gone.
So, yeah, okay. He was the champ. He's got to give some kind of respect to defend his title.
Correct, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's got to be brave, hasn't he? But there's no point in being brave and stupid, is
yeah, it? I was just about to say the same thing, but you took the words right out of
yeah, there's no point in being brave and stupid, because at the long run, it might not pay. He may not see no signs from it now, but true. Later on during his later life, it might come to haunt him.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I agree with everything what you said there, because some boxers and ex-boxers are saying, "Stop it." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't bother fight anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're not going to be yourself. And in a way, near the kind of ending, I kind of felt a little bit kind of like sad for the guy, because, you know, the punishment, what he took.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Dubois won. I wanted him to win. Mm. I mean, he said in any means possible, you know? And, it was kind of like hard to see that, you know? Like I said, the McGuigans, you know, Barry, he said, shouldn't box again. You know what I mean? If I was him, shouldn't box again. Or if I was the trainer, yeah, just retire him straight.
Mm.
And then Shane McGuigan, he had something to say as well, which kind of echoes this kind of big time. Shane said, "The curse of being dangerous." I'll say that again. "The curse of being dangerous while you are hurt. Pull him out, you chumps." Wow. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know. So he's saying, yeah, you know, rocking around, bubbling around, dangerous, but still getting tumped up. You know what I mean? Like, you've never known. I asked the question, right? Who calls it? Who's to blame for his beatings? You know, do you think Wardley should have just, you know, kind of stopped? Because, I mean, his eye were closing, his nose were just coming like Mersey.
It was.
You know?
It was.
Cut up, bad. Sometimes his nose looked like this, a scene from Casualty, you know, when them pretend like, say,
yeah,
like man broke his nose, coming like that. But, you know, I mean, the referee has the primary authority to stop the fight at any given time, you know? Was Wardley... Was he fighting back? Because that's one reason why he could have stopped the fight. His inability to defend himself, receiving too much punishment. And, you know, not intelligently defending himself. Knocked down, obviously, he's never been knocked down. Is it kind of like, you know, big of him to have that record and take them kind of beating? Or, yeah, this one, you know, a medical evaluation. Well, the ref did, the doctor did a couple of them examinations. You know what I mean? You know, or the ref deems the fighter too injured or in danger of getting some more thumps. Well, it was definitely in danger. You can say that. Big time, you know. But yeah, does Daniel go on to bigger things now? or
of this rematch?
Yeah, or is it going to be a rematch? Because apparently Fabio Wardley says
he wants a rematch.
He's triggered the clause for an immediate rematch with Dubois. I mean, is that money talking, or is that you know? Because people are saying in the game, well respected, they're saying that it should take at least 12 months out
to fully heal, everything.
And I'm hearing that. I mean, you know, I am kind of like hearing that as well. But yeah, I mean, I tell you what, for me, and you might think, well, I mean, not really, but the people who win as well, the promoter, he don't brook sweat. He promotes both of them.
He does.
He's getting his car, and he's not getting touched up or anything.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he can stick his chest out and that, and smile at the press conferences to say, you know, take your caps off to these two incredible warriors.
Yeah, that's what he called them. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know that they've been in the trenches. They've arguably the best heavyweight fight, you know, you've ever seen. He can big it up all day long. He now receive no thumps. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know? And the trainers as well. I mean, Wardley's trainer is kind of like well known. And he were kind of like basically saying that, well, you know, our guy's still kind of dangerous. Only takes a one shot. While, I mean, Chisora, I don't know if you heard what he said afterwards, but he summed it up really good. You know, Chisora's saying that, you know, just wanted to land a big one. Like, Wardley wasn't really looking to build up any points or anything. You know, he wasn't jabbing. He was just trying to send a big bomb in. You know what I mean? And, you know, we all know what happened there. Like I said, both fighters signed to Queensbury, promoted by Mr. Warren, confirmed after the bout that there is a rematch clause. So you can imagine Warren just rubbing his hands again, thinking, yeah, so it's
more,
just another...
More dollars coming into his pocket.
It's just another payday. What he should be saying is like, yes, there is a clause, but, you know, common sense, health of my fighters, I'm not going to push it for that.
Mm.
You don't hear them say that, do you? It's just in a contract. You know what I mean? And I just think that, you know, sometimes you can't blame fighters for managing their own affairs like Wilder. I mean, yeah, they kind of get greedy, too greedy in at the end. But, you know, you're not under pressure from no kind of like promoter, you know, selling the fight. I mean, if the rematch is on, it don't need to be sold, you know. Would I go and watch it? Not sure whether I'd go and watch a rematch. I'd watch it on the box, but not sure whether I'd go down to Manchester to watch that again. I mean, the fight that I'd want to watch is against Moses Itelma and Dubois. You know, Moses 21, Dubois, what, 28. That's the fight that I'd love to see, you know. Fight of ages, that one. Wardley, who rose from white collar boxing to be world champion inside 10 years, lost for the first time as a professional, you know, 31 years old, enjoyed early success against Dubois, seeking him out with that sledgehammer, but it kind of like caught up with him, you know what I mean? What are your thoughts on Dubois against Itelma? Big exciting fight, that, I'm telling you.
Probably, yeah, but you know, I don't know. I don't know much about that Itelma. Are you talking about what? You mean
Itelma is 21 year old?
You're talking about
big heavyweight.
Oh, the young guy now?
Yes, I.
Yeah. I know. Because and his hands are fast. His hands are fast like, fast like lightning. No, seriously, in fast, man. Yeah, I see him brocking the boy. I see him brocking him. For speed, agility, yeah. Because the boy, what the boy will try and do is take the center of the ring with him, but my boy can move. So I've got a feeling, sir, I feel he could touch him.
I think, if them two got in a ring, yeah, I think Dubois would definitely be going down. I think he'd come true though. I think he'd get the verdict. The experience and stuff. Talma's got his age on his side. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, if that fight gets made, yeah. I'd definitely spend money and get a ticket for that one. But like I said, for the rematch, not sure whether I'd get excited again and down Manchester to watch that. But yeah, I'd definitely watch it on the box. No problem. But, you know, you listen to Sweet Talking Sport. It's 18:21, Friday the 15th of May. I'm joined by the one called CV. And we've just been chatting about Wardley taking some licks against Triple D. You know what I mean? Two-time heavyweight super duper world champs. I'm gonna flip it now. I'm gonna go from one discussion about a referee to another one, and. This is to do with the EFL playoffs against, you know, Southampton and Middlesbrough. Not really bothered about the score or anything like that. It's just like the referee. You had a guy called Andy Madley. Now, he's a Premiership referee, right? And he's been used to kind of like using VAR and stuff. So you take that away and then there were three big massive calls. I'm not sure if you watched the game, CV, but there were three big massive calls for penalties. All got waved away, and I'm sure if VAR was there, it would have got called to the screen.
The Southampton and Middlesbrough game? I watched a little bit of it.
And I think at least one of them would have been a penalty. And that was when Ayling brought down the guy from Borough in the box.
Ayling, didn't he play for Borough? You mean he's no, from South?
No, yeah. It was, yeah, Ayling plays for Borough.
That's right.
He brought down the Southampton guy in the box. Yeah. And I thought that was a cert penalty. And that Andy Madley's been, you know, pure controversy around him. You know what I mean? He's been barred from refereeing. He can only do certain games and this, that and the other. Now, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be a ref at all. But, like I said, I just want you to park that for a bit. So, you've got a Premiership referee, okay, and no VAR equipment at all. Only goal line technology, what they use. And the magnitude of this game, you know, so, you know, the winner goes into the final, would have gone into the final against Hull in the Premier League. So the minimum, what it's worth in the Premier League, now we're talking minimums here now. So you're talking about 140 to 170 million for, you know, promotion. That's what it's worth. And that's only via fixtures. That's, you know, we're not talking TV rights or anything like that. You know, it's just like fixtures. Now, if your club avoids relegation, you know, you can. If your club avoids relegation in the first season, you're talking about up to 300 mils across five seasons, because then you'll get, you're talking like sort of like broadcasting rights worth about 95 mil. Merit or reward or honour, whatever you want to call it. And that's like each team finishes in a certain position. That's worth 2.8 million. And then you've got your parachute payments, which is the long-term value here. You know, promoted teams is relegated after a single season, guaranteed your parachute payments. And that's kind of like what? Worth over maybe 100 mil over three seasons. That's not a bad deal, that, especially if your nosy neighbours, you know what I mean, are taking the biscuit, such as like when United got relegated in the 2022-23 seasons. Wednesday were just bubbling up all over the place, but United had the parachute payments. That's why, you know, they had a healthy squad and stuff like that, and you know, spruced up the ground and stuff, and the academy. You can do that because you get the parachute payments. So it's a not a bad thing. It's not the end of the world if your team was to get, you know, kind of like relegated. You know, you're receiving some big dollars there, you know. And then you've got, like I said, going back to Andy Madley, three separate penalty incidents, waved him away. Been a Premiership referee since, well, for seven years, full time, 2019. Refed over, what, 100 top flight games in the Premier League, and gets the use of VAR, you know, which is the video assistant referee, introduced, you know, 2019-2020 season. You know, so, you know, the moral of the story is Andy Madley used to working with VAR. Now, take that away. Hence, looks like he doesn't know what he's doing.
That's what some people said.
Yeah, doesn't look like he knew what he was doing. But then you've got, why didn't they use the top referees out of the Championship? You know, you can look at their stats. Andy Kitchen, you know. So, consistent performer throughout the season. These guys are getting good reviews. Jeff Ettringham, yeah, uses his common sense. Stable performance, yeah, that means he's steady. These guys are top dogs, you know what I mean? But yet, they don't get a squeeze, you know what I mean? There's no VAR, so why not let these guys, who have been kind of getting good reviews all season, I've mentioned three referees there, so you've got two semi-finals and then a final, yeah? Get them one each, you know what I mean? So it's like, what I'm saying is that football sometimes creates its own problems.
Yeah, it's own.
You know what I mean?
Its own tribulation.
Yeah, because for me, I think you're either all in. I think from when you reach the playoffs, introduce VAR for everything. All the way. All the way. Because guess what? When you jump in a Premiership, if you make it, that's what you've got. So I think across board, playoffs automatic. You've got VAR. You know what I mean? Not just at the final at Wembley. It's just kind of it just doesn't cut it for me, and that proved a point, so, that when Sheffield United went to Wembley and VAR come in and chalk off that goal, you know, against Sunderland, you know. So I'm saying, for me, And it's like what my mother would say, either or either, you know, you use VAR for the playoffs all the way through. I'm not sure about you whether you agree or disagree.
No, I think it's a good idea from the playoffs onwards, and everybody knows what's happening then. From then onwards, when you get to say like the final, then in a way it's different then, isn't it? Because right, you've then got what might not have been a penalty or a free kick in the earlier stages will now automatically now be picked up by VAR and say, well, yeah, that should be this, it should be that. So really, for me, no, you're right. I think it should start from as soon as the first ball kicking at the in at the playoffs. Everybody's under that rule.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like, you know, wow, you know, it's like the awareness in the championship now. I'm aware that the clubs have voted not to have VAR. And it was going to be like, almost like a shorter version of VAR in the championships. The clubs then decided that they didn't want it. I'd say that it went to a vote, I should say, not because not all clubs agreed on that. Yeah, it was going to be like a bit like tennis, and I think this is why they probably back-heeled it, because they were going to say that you get two challenges, yeah, in added game. So you're thinking, you know, there'll be discrepancies. It's like, yeah, your clubs, you know, they've got monitors and stuff like that now. So you would have had maybe like a certain time limit to whether you want to challenge that, whether it was a penalty decision or not, or handball or foul. You know what I mean? I don't know how they were going to do that, whether you'd have to wave something or whatever, or the captain, you know what I mean, alerts the referee to say, yeah, we want to put a challenge in. And then obviously the game would get stopped. It'd go to the screen or whatever. And then the referee would make his assessment and then say, you know, challenge has been successful or unsuccessful. I think they got cut short, really, with that. Maybe if they had the full setup, maybe, you know, they might have said, yeah, we'll take that. But the Norwich boss, Clement, he was saying something like, not always, you know, they get the right decision. So he was saying that he'd like to see that. You know, it's like the moments where he misses VAR to get the right decision. And I think at first, when it first come in, there were a lot of discrepancies and stuff. But I must admit, as time's gone on now, The majority of the time, I think they get it right. There's still a little bit of grey area, but the majority, get it right.
They do. It? I mean, I don't know if we're going to be covering this topic, the Celtic and the Motherwell game,
yeah,
right? When if he, and they say no, it was a penalty, right? Because the Motherwell guy's hand was nowhere, because the ball, for me, yes, the guy's hand was here near his head, but when that ball hits, if it's hitting your hand, that ball does not fly out as far as it does. True. Right, that come off his head, that come off his head. So for me, VAR there, I don't even think they looked at, they only gave it one, they only showed it in one position, right? So to me, I just said, no, in that particular instance, no, VAR never work out right.
Sheffield.
And I can understand now the reasons why, such as the Hearts, players and the fans and whatever are saying, I don't think they want us to win. I think they want Celtic to win it, because every year, with all due respect, since the 80s, either Rangers or Celtic have won it. No other teams ever won it, other than Aberdeen when Father Christmas was the manager. What do you call him again? Ferguson, yeah. When Ferguson was the manager, right? That's the only time they've won. A different side they've won it, right? So to me, I would say, it's not always.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Struber, the German guy. I know some people would have thought I said Struber, but let me put that straight. Struber, me say, the ex-Bristol City and Barnsley manager at the time. You know, he said in January, VAR, I love that, you know, to have VAR in it, because he was saying that there are many signs, evaluation, that with VAR, the decisions are better and more fair, right? He said that in January, but 2 months later, he was out of a job. Maybe he wanted to vote it in, and the chairman, you know, the chairman of the club, maybe he went against it. But like I said, after that statement, what he said, 2 months, the guy was out of a job, you know. Also, this is what Struber said. He weighed in by saying, but the clubs show no appetite to move forward with the idea, fearful of the impact on the game for the supporters as well as the cost of introducing it. Yeah? So he's gone quite deep. Now, I'm saying, for example, I know clubs have to pay for VAR. Yeah? Let's just say it's like 1.2. If it's, you know, and this is probably another reason for the Championship clubs giving it a back heel. If the Championship clubs had to pay 1.2 million between them, 24 between 24 teams. So you're talking about, 50 grand or something like that each club. Now, the clubs at the top end were around promotion. I don't know, such as example like your Coventries and stuff, and your Millwalls and your Sheffield Uniteds. Yeah, okay, they didn't finish where they'd like to go, but I'm just using this in an example. Yeah, them type of clubs would probably be able to pay. It's the other clubs at the bottom. I mean, at the time, like Wednesday. No disrespect, but are they going to vote for VAR to come in and pay like 50 grand?
No.
Out of them purse?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So,
no.
You get a dividends. You know what I mean? Every club, if that vote did it well, substance, every club would have to chip in over a period of time.
Of course.
And that's what them are run for. You know what I mean? So, I'm sorry, but you can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? You can't have, like, say, you know, where I'm going with this, you're top official from the Premier League, but it's like giving him no tools. It's like sending a guy...
a plumber without no tools.
Yeah, without the tools to do a job, because he's used to having his tools and his equipment around him. So you take that away, you don't know what he's doing.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It makes the job harder.
Yeah, and that's what... and in Madliad, his job was just hard because he's not used to refereeing without VAR now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that's what I said earlier on about football just creates a problem within itself. And I just named three top Championship referees, yeah, which was Kitchen, Ettringham, and next guy Midid Nien, also as well. So why wasn't they given the job? No VAR, give them the job to ref. You know what I mean? And I just think that's just so kind of like easy to deal with, you know? Sweet Talking Sport, Friday the 15th, 1840. Just before we get into the FA Cup, I want to talk about this guy, Taverner, being a good servant of Rangers.
I'm going to say, yeah. 11, I've seen him. 11
years.
I've seen him.
He used to play for Newcastle, didn't he?
I'm not sure. I'm sure I think he's got a brother as well. Taverner. What players as well?
Oh, might.
Yeah, he's got he's got a brother.
That's a wicked point.
He's got a brother as well. What players as well?
Yes, I think you're right there. I think it could be his brother what plays this side, because he's been in Scotland for what at Ibrox 11. He'd have seen some changes over there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Seen some different managers. It would have been under Gerrard, and then obviously under Danny Rua. You know what I mean?
And but, I'm not sure if I'm being honest with you, I might have got it wrong, but I'm not sure they're 100% behind Danny up there.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. I'm not sure.
Some substance in that, you know, if he's not delivering, you know what I mean? It's a result business, as we know. Taverner, says he felt deeply hurt, and let down, you know, and the situation could and should have been handled much, much better, you know. After missing out on a farewell appearance after 11 years at Ibrox, you know what I mean? You know, the right back, 34, did not feature in the squad for Wednesday's 2-1 defeat by Hibs, you know. And received a little ovation from the faithfuls. You know, the pre-match was presented with a commentary of Shield by the Rangers great, you know, John Gregg. I mean, 11 years at a club. And like you said, they might not be behind Danny Rowe. I mean, hence this little story now coming out from Taverner. You know what I mean?
Well, what's he saying now? What's he saying about being at Rangers?
He was just saying that he's kind of like, you know, moving on to other things. So
other pastures.
Yeah. Afterwards, head coach Daniel Rowe said Taverner had a medical issue.
Right, okay.
And was unsure whether he would feature in the game,
right? You
know, the final game of the season.
Okay.
So, like, you know, after writing on Instagram on Thursday, Taverner explained that the background of his ankle issue, which arose following last Monday's defeat by Hearts, he started but did not finish Sunday's loss at Celtic Park.
Yeah, that was the 3-1.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the last 24 hours, he said that, you know, has been the most difficult and emotional of his career for both him and his family. You know, quite right. So, difficult circumstances. Following discussions with the media staff, we agreed that, you know, with the medical staff, that he'd get juck in his ankle, you know, with the injection.
Okay,
and that,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
What kind of injection would it? With them, you know.
I know what they're on about. One of them
tick needle. Yeah, and
then it quells the pain for a couple hours.
Just numbs it.
Yeah, just quell him up.
Yeah. So, like, you know, after the game, with emotions running high, he said that he made the decision to bring the injection forward to Tuesday. You know. That decision would have ruled him out for a couple of games on Wednesday and Saturday's matches. You know, so after speaking through throughout Monday with his family and the medical department, it came, you know, to a decision to delay the injection so that he could play in the final match, you know, because obviously he wanted to play. But he said, like, the manager had explained how important it was for him and his family, but the opportunity to say goodbye properly to the Ibrox fans then, you know. Taverner went on to explain that the following correspondence with Rowe, he was informed that he would be substitute, you know. Report surfaced just before the game that he had left Ibrox and refused to be involved in the match day squad.
Did he walk out? Apparently, if I'm getting it right, I think he's walked out.
You know, many people may feel that he could have handled the situation better and accept that. But after a decade, you know what I mean, and you know, spent much of his life at that club with his family.
He's a large time, isn't it?
Definitely. He said it kind of hurt him, like, you know, club let him down, you know. And
I hear that.
You have to point the finger at Danny Rua. Yeah, again, yeah, like you say, has he lost the dressing room already?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, yeah, he's got skanked by Glasgow Rangers, you know, 11 seasons, man. Mm. Loyalty, what does it mean? What does loyalty mean now?
Mm.
I mean, nothing, man. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything out
it's
there.
A bit like, but the story's not the same, but I mean, it's mm-hmm. a bit like Silver and John Stones. They've been there for about 9 and 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to get the biggest farewell.
Are they in the squad then for tomorrow?
Stones came on with about what, 5 minutes or six minutes to go against Palace.
Has he got a next club in then, Stones?
The Everton want him, don't they?
He'd probably go there then, isn't it?
Remember, we got him from Everton,
yeah,
didn't we?
Probably join up with Jack.
I don't know.
At the bar.
I don't know. You know? Yeah, I've been
and,
here.
And drink
some...
it down.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just switch it and flip it again. FA Cup tomorrow. Mr. V's going.
I am.
I mean, we'll start with Chelsea first. I mean, I think they've got good players who can play football. But for me at the moment, I can't see them really playing like a team. I think they're just individuals, a bit disjointed. And I think if I was a Chelsea fan, that would make me worry that tomorrow.
Right.
You know?
I can only go from what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
right? Chelsea have lost the last six games, my understanding, right? They've lost the last six games. And their performances against us have not been brilliant. The first one, we played them at our place and we were winning 1-0 with them, and I think they scored in the 93rd or the 94th minute, as at Enzo, right? He scored it to make it 1-1. Then not too long ago, I went to Stamford Bridge and we played them down there, and we've just played them off the park. We beat them 3-0. Very comfortable, right? They never looked like hurting City at all. So, Wembley now, mm-hmm. different story. It's a one-off game. They may come to play. You know what I mean? They might step up to the plate. But I think City are going to be more determined this time to win this game, because we've been to Wembley four times, right?
Consecutive.
And out of the four times, right, we've only won two out of them. Because the last time, we were there last year, against Crystal Palace, and we all know what happened there. Eze scored the goal. The season before that, we played Man United, and we all know what happened there. We lost 2-1, right? So, you know, we look a bit of a losing streak at Wembley in the FA Cup final. I'm talking about.
Mm.
So for me, yeah, we should. I'm saying we should win this game. Now, I'm hearing people say we should win the game comfortable. No, I wouldn't say comfortable, but I'll say we should win the game.
What are they saying comfortable? Are they talking 3-0 or
4-1? Yeah, I've heard them scores on other rival stations. I've heard 3-0. And I'm saying no. I'm saying that we should win. We should win that game because he's held back a couple of, like for instance, this week against Crystal Palace, he made 6 changes, right, in the team compared to, you know, to the Brentford side. And Pep got a lot of stick. We're getting stick for it. Oh, he's not, he's thrown the white towel. Is it the white towel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's thrown it in because you can see now he's made 6 changes and see, have still got a slight chance of winning the league. And I mean a very slight chance of winning the league. But the same Pep has said, right, he's putting all his attention now to the FA Cup.
And so he should.
Right.
You know, at the moment, that's the next big game.
Right.
You know.
But at the end of the day, what he said was, I have got a squad.
Mm.
Right. And every player will help out. That's what Mr. Guardiola said. He said, I have got a squad and every player will help out. Right. Which is what he did. He put them players in because he felt he'd got faith in them players that they could do the business.
Mm.
And was he wrong? No, he wasn't wrong. We won the game comfortable, 3-0. Could have been more, right? With these so-called players who people are saying, they're not the first team. No, they're not. But the fact was, they was good enough to beat Palace. So I think those players what has been rested, they will be coming back in the side tomorrow, like your Haaland and O'Reilly. You know, all them players will be coming back in. Doku will be coming back in to play full. Right, so you know we should win the game, but I'm not going to say to you they're going to win the game 3-4-0. No, I don't think so. Right, because Chelsea are going to. There's no other way for Chelsea to get into Europe now. No other way for Chelsea to get into Europe because they're not going to qualify for the Champions League. So the only other way they can get in is through into Europe. I mean the Europa League. And they would have to win the FA Cup.
I think there's going to be a few goals in the game.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, I think Chelsea will start well. I think both teams will start well. To be honest with you, and as they play the way into the game, I think it'll start to open up. And like I said, I think how City will defeat Chelsea is because, like I said, they seem to be playing. Yeah, I get it, they're a team, but what I'm saying is that they'll play as almost like individuals. You know, they've been a little bit disjointed. They've got that young boy who's running things at the moment. I don't think, you know, yes, he's managed them before, but he is obviously not their guy.
Well, what you said is
not their guy.
What you said is spot on. He did manage them. That his first management was against us when they drew 1-1.
Mm.
That's you know.
But like I say, times have moved on since that. You know, they've had what you call him,
Rossini.
Yeah, they've had him in place. Before Rossini, they had Enzo in it, and at first Enzo started off quite well.
Well, Maresca,
he kind of moved people out into the bomb squad. You know, we know about that. You know, the Sterlings and stuff. You know, train with the young boy them, so a little further disruptions.
And then Rosina come in, held the reins for a little bit, then them start make joke about him.
He did, the way he talked, you know what I mean? And all this sort of foolishness.
Yeah, just unprofessional, yeah, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, they're going to pay the price for that. It's going to come back and bite them.
And you're right, because
you know what
a lot,
I mean?
You're absolutely
it's
going to
come
right.
Bite them.
Because a lot of the fans are saying they should have stuck with him. That's what they're saying. They should have stuck with him.
I've not heard that. Some of them have said that they should have stuck with him. So yeah, they just spoil up things. You know what I mean? They've got players, good players, like I said, on big, massive, stupid contracts. You know what I mean? He wants sorting out.
You'll need
a very strong character. You know, in manager like you know, I've heard names like Alonso and stuff like that. Him, you know. You need a strong manager in there to manage that, but you know, I think it's going to be City's cup, you know.
Hopefully, I hope so.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm going for City on that one. Can't really see Chelsea win it, even though they'll make a fist of it. But as a game, you know, starts to take shape, yeah, I think that's when. That they'll become unstuck, and City might in the latter stages look to open up. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like my assessment.
I hope so. I hope so.
And then Arsenal play Burnley on Monday.
Yeah,
Monday.
That is correct.
I think you know. Burnley obviously been doomed from time, you know what I mean? So, you know, I shouldn't really say formality because they haven't got a given right just to, you know, games aren't won on a sheet of paper. You've got to go out there and do it, you know? So, but I think, you know, if I was in that situation, you know, you'll just want to play some good stuff, you know, play your way into the game. You know, and then just step on the gas and make sure that you get it over the line. You know what I mean? Which I'm sure they will do.
The thing, I was talking to a guy who sits next to me, right, uh-huh. on Wednesday night when we were playing Palace, and he's saying, "Oh, we you know, you've got to have faith and all this kind of stuff." And I turned to him and I said, "Right, Arsenal are playing Burnley on Monday." Right. Yes, Burnley have got nothing to lose now. They're already relegated.
Yep.
But at the same time, the thing is, right, Arsenal know they have to win that game, right? So I can't see them losing. Not at home. I cannot see them losing to Burnley. The other guy says, well, they don't need to lose. They just have to get a draw, which is true. They only have to get a draw. But I can't see that happening neither.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm with you all the way on that one.
And then I
can't see that.
And then on the final and then they've got on the final day, they've got the team that we were playing on Wednesday night, Crystal Palace. Right? And with all due respect, we played them with what we classed as a so-called weakened team. Yes? That's what they said. Six changes. It was a weakened side. Right? And we beat them comfortable 3-0. Never mind if Arsenal go in there, they're going to go with their strongest team, aren't they? They're going with the strongest team.
Of course, to bring it over the line.
So the City fans, yeah, whatever. At the end of the day, we shouldn't even be in it. They should have won the league long time ago, Arsenal. But as you know, they've dropped a few bombshells and whatever.
I go in a different way of that because, you know, for me, I've seen it too many times where you've got teams that are kind of like way ahead, running away with it, and then you know, they're out there to be beaten. You know, like I said, you don't really. There's no divine right to win a game of football. You've got to go out there and earn that right. You know what I mean?
Well,
we've seen it in leagues, whether it's in Scotland here, Championship and stuff like that. Same thing will happen. You know, there's no getting away from it. You know, history just repeat itself.
Like I've said, Arsenal for me should have been wrapped up already. Mm. So we've done well to get where we are.
100%. Well, you know, you've kind of earned the right to be there. The league table doesn't lie. You know what I mean? Whether that's current form or poor form, you know what I mean? Our points deduction and all them something there. But, you know, last few seconds, you know, I hope you've enjoyed the ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's been another good week.
And we're out of here.
Adios.